It's good to be back in the Lord's house tonight. We appreciate everybody that's come, and especially every visitor that's come. I want to say very much welcome to you. Glad to have you. And God's sure good to us, and we thank Him for letting us come to His house to worship again. I have some scripture on my heart that's, again, it's connected to what I had on my heart this morning, and I may have read it even, but it's in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and starting at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened. Quickened means made alive. And that reminds me of being born again, which is what I preached about this morning. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's just a wonderful scripture to me. Let's all stand for just a moment of prayer as we pray. Precious Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for being so good to us and for being willing to quicken us through the shed blood of Jesus. God, thank You for letting us be back in Your house to worship tonight. God, I pray You just bless us to have a very spiritual service, and the Lord speak to people's hearts that are in need. God, we pray for we just get ourselves out of the way and humble our heart and serve You, Lord. We ask You these things, and we praise You, God, in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. Turn over to the choir.
Page 179.
Jesus blood, making me an Good to be here this evening. Appreciate those songs. That the Star of Bethlehem, I leaned over to Cooper. I said, "Is this Christmas in July?" And I really enjoyed that song. And as I got to thinking about it, it's been a few years since we've actually been able to enjoy Christmas here at home. I'm looking forward to it. And then that last song, it just really struck me. I was singing about the Passion of Christ and doing some research on it a while ago, and the passion is means to suffer. But that song really tells the story of Jesus and what he did for us. And I'm so thankful that he didn't call the 10,000 angels. He fulfilled the law. Give us a way to come back to the Lord and get saved. I'm so thankful for that. At this time, we'll ask everyone to stand. You'll ask if there's any unspoken requests. Remember those. Any spoken? Anything on your heart? Remember them. Absolutely.
Please pray for Judy Gass Harris's funeral tomorrow. I've got to preach that. And I also got another prayer request. I've got an appointment to preach down at Hebron Missionary Baptist Church on Saturday at 3 o'clock. That's down near Columbus where Brian Holt's a pastor. And I've got that on my heart. I'd really appreciate everybody praying for that service down there.
Yeah, remember that.
Yeah.
Remember the service. Yeah. We've got a great crowd here tonight. It's good. Remember, Vacation Bible School is coming up. What an opportunity we have. Anyone else? We'll ask Brother Cooper to lead us in prayer. We'll ask at this time if anyone has a song or a testimony on your heart. Follow the Lord. I'll say in the many churches that I've got to visit over the years, there's not too many, like in the 1 to 2 percentile, that actually allow the church, the congregation, to follow the Lord. Don't take it for granted. And we gather at this time to worship the Lord and to share what He has given us, and whether that's a song, whether it's just a praise, whatever it is, just follow Him. Verse I'll share is really common. As I was reading a little bit before earlier today, it's 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. This first part, I always read it as be sober, and I think, well, you know, don't drink alcohol and be of the right mind, but it also means to be calm. Sometimes we can get it caught up in the world, and whether that's, we can get anxious about things, we can, you know, there's all kinds of emotions that we can get caught up into, and we've got to hand those things over to the Lord, because that's where the devil will come in. He likes to plant these little seeds, and boy, I can go off track in those things, and he just sets those snares, and we just get caught right into it, and we can just get taken right out of the game. And he's at work today, right now. We really need to just focus on the Lord, be able to set the things aside of the world, and I want to see somebody get saved. I want the opportunity to go out, if we can draw closer. Does anyone have anything at all? Amen. Yeah. Amen. I appreciate that.
sing this a lot, and I didn't come to sing this tonight. It just come on my heart. I like what Brent said one night. He said, when the Lord gives you something, it's go time. So you just pray. I'm planning on taking a trip over there where heartaches and sorrow, there'll not be a care. There'll be no more sickness, no death nor pain. And when the angels step back, oh, that's when we'll sing. Then we'll sing our song while the ages rolls on. We'll be with Jesus around the great throne. We'll sing hallelujah, and I've been redeemed. And when the angels step back, oh, that's when we'll sing. Well, early one morning, just when we arise, we'll see Jesus way up in the skies. He'll call to his children no more to roam. And when the angels step back, then we'll sing our song. Then we'll sing our song while the ages rolls on. We'll be with Jesus around the great throne. We'll sing hallelujah, and I've been redeemed. And when the angels step back, oh, that's when we'll sing. I'm so thankful that I've been redeemed.
Appreciate that song. That's what you're preaching about this morning, being redeemed, being saved. We don't have it today, seek him out. You just can't get saved on your own. It's when he calls you, you've got to answer him. I appreciate that song. Anyone else have anything? I don't want to tarry too long. You pray for the one that stands tonight. That preaching's easy. I appreciate the spirit I feel so far. We'll turn it over to Brother Terry.
Amen. Good to be here. I appreciate this service so far. Choir singing, testimonies, opening up. Everything has been done already. I just appreciate it. And I'll ask one more time. Brother Bob gave plenty of opportunity, but anybody else got a song on it just really pressing on your heart? We still make room for you. There's room for everything God wants done. And like it's already been said, wonderful crowd. Glad to have everybody here tonight. Thank the Lord. And just keep praying. I got on my heart and, when we got up from prayer. I shook Brother Aaron's hand. I said, I got on my heart. I said, I'm going to call on you here in a minute. And I felt like when I told him that, he already knew it. And I like it when it works that way. And Brother Aaron preached for us a little while back, and God certainly blessed him. And I'm looking forward to hearing him again tonight, Lord willing, and if he's willing. And I'm just going to turn it over to Aaron. Come on, Aaron. Pray for him, church. Let's just give him your whole heart. Should have given you this before, but I didn't think about it. You can do it, though. All right. Pray for him, church.
And say it's such a blessing to be here this morning, and think that's probably the most I've enjoyed Terry, and certain times that just hit you different than others. And as he was preaching this morning about redeemed and saved and born again, and how Jesus told Nicodemus, "Marvel not." And we was over at Sean and Brittany's today, and as we was talking, I went back to the time I got saved, and I remember Jason Wright growing up. He was always bigger, taller, faster, and I always looked up to him.
Yeah.
And he'd move good in the Lord, and I remembered he got saved not too long before me. And I remember we was standing at the altar, all of us around, whenever he went, and I remember standing right beside him, and the Lord hadn't dealt with me yet. And I was standing right beside him, and he went, and he got saved, and he started testifying. He said, "Well, Lord spoke to me," and I felt, and I thought, well, why didn't I hear him? I thought, well, I was right beside him.
Yeah.
Why didn't I hear him?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I thought, well, maybe I'm too dumb to know when he's going to call. I thought, what if he speaks and I won't hear him? And I remember asking Mom and Dad, I said, how will I know when God speaks to me? And I hated their answer, but it was true nonetheless. They said, "You'll just know."
Amen.
And I thought, well, this is about life and death. They said, "You might go to hell." And I thought, and that's the best answer you got. They knew that when God spoke, that without a doubt, you'll be the first one to know.
Amen.
And I remember thinking, well, are you sure how, you know, I thought, well, I don't want to miss it. I was so worried that I would miss it and I wouldn't hear it. And I remember I was sitting way back. And I've heard a lot of people, and I tell my kids to try to listen as best they can. I want them to pay attention. But I tell you what, you know what I was doing as an 8-year-old boy? I was back there playing with Hot Wheel cars and G.I. Joes. You know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. When God speaks, you'll know about it. And I remember Albert Hunter was preaching, and I thought, well, I remember thinking, I've heard him preach this before. Why is it different? I remember thinking, I thought, I've heard this before. Why is it different? And it started touching my heart for the first time. And guess what? I was the first one to know. And I remember Mom and Dad was up here, but you know what? I didn't have to come and ask them, was that God? Because I knew it was. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how educated you are, how young or how old. When God speaks, you will know about it. And I think I love it so much that, you know, it doesn't matter if you was raised this way. Doesn't matter if this is your first time here. He could speak to you. I think a lot of times we think, well, we have it easier. I was thinking about how somebody's testifying this morning about, you know, I was raised this way. You would have thought it had been easier for me. I should have been able to pray a big old prayer. I've heard it all my life. But whenever it came my time, I had no idea what words to say. I couldn't even think of any. I remember I walked. I thought, well, maybe it'll be easier if I come all the way up to the front pew. And I remember I walked all the way up and I stood right there. And I thought, well, maybe it'll be a little bit easier. It felt like that altar was still a million miles away. But I love it ain't about where you're sitting. The farthest distance I've ever traveled is from taking him up here and putting him down here. See, as a little child, I believe God was real. But it was all up here. This isn't where you get saved at. It's when he becomes real down here. When I finally meant it with all my heart and believed he was Lord of Lords and King of Kings and got him out of my head and he became real in my heart, he saved me like that. I remember thinking, I wanted to get saved at home, Terry. I didn't want to get up here. I thought, I don't want to get in front of people. I'll mess it up. I'll stumble over my words. Maybe I'll say it wrong. Maybe they'll laugh. The devil had me believing just about everything to keep me in my seat. I tell you what, whatever you'll listen to, that's what he'll tell you. Oh, they'll laugh at you. Oh, you don't want to do that. You don't want to change the life that you're living. Whatever he'll keep you to stay in your seat and you'll listen to, that's where you'll be. But I tell you what, when I finally got to the point, and I remember and I was talking to Brittany and all them today, and I'd forgot when I was lost. The dreams that I had, the nightmares that I had. I'd forgot all about them. They started talking and it just came. I think that's unreal how sometimes we forget
where God brought us from and where we're at. I forgot where I was at and where he's brought me to. But I remember there were some dreams where I was in hell and I was running. And I remember there was lava and fire all over, and all I had was just little spots to step on. And every time I'd step on them, they'd start to sink, and I'd run the faster, and he was right behind me chasing me. And finally, I just fell right in, and I couldn't get out. I tell you what, there's no way out. He's the only one that can help you. You can keep running. You can keep trying to find any way that you want and try to do it some other way. I tell you what, there's only one way. I tell you what, Jesus Christ is the only way. That's the only way you can be saved. Says any other way, it's a thief and a robber. I tell you what, you're not going to come in some other way, your way or anybody else's way. You'll have to come his way. But I'm thankful that he loves us enough that whether it's your first time, your 100th time, whether you think he'll never talk to me, it doesn't matter how old you are. I promise there will be a time that he speaks directly to you. And the thought I have in my heart, and it got stirred up this morning before service ever started, didn't plan on going this way. And if we can find the scripture, we thought about it a little bit more, and it just kept stirring up in our heart. And we talked to Bob and them, and just a little thought that we had. And if I can find the scripture, and I think it's in Luke, if I can find it. Over in Luke, in chapter 7. And Luke in chapter 7, verse 40. And it says, "And Jesus answering said unto him," or I'm sorry, starting up 36 verse, said, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and had wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on." I just want to stop right there for a second. So this woman, and I thought how a lot of times we want to make it seem like God has to draw you out, has to really beckon you. I tell you what, if he spoke to you once, then you have an invitation. Now, it's up to you what you do with it. You can say, well, I'll say it like this. The first time he ever spoke, he pounded my door. And it shook me to the core. Yeah. Every time I turned him away, it got a little bit softer. A little bit softer. Yeah. And pretty soon I thought, well, he might not ever knock again. Yeah. And I remember I got to the point where I said, Lord, I don't know what I have to do. I don't care. I'll do whatever you want. And all I remember is when I got all the way up here, I stood here for a while and listened to the preacher. When I finally got to where he saved me is when I said, I don't care what I have to do, I'll do it. And all I remember was leaning. I don't even remember taking the first step. I just remember leaning and giving in. He saved me the moment I gave him my whole heart and said, I'll do whatever you want. That's when he saved me. I didn't even make it to my knees. I don't even know how I made it from the altar to the pulpit or to the pew, but somewhere in between there, he saved me. And I don't even know how I got to the altar. But I tell you what, that woman doesn't say how long that she knew he was there or how many times that she'd heard him knock, but at some point, he knocked at her heart's door. Yeah. And it said that she knew that he was there, and so she went to his house. Yeah. I think a lot of us, a lot of times, we wait on God till he comes into our house. We think, well, I don't have an invitation. She could easily said, I don't have an invitation. I don't need to go over there. But I tell you what, when you get to the point where you don't care, And you said, I don't care what I have to do. The woman with the issue of blood, she finally got to the point where I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to reach the hem of his garment. If I can just get there. I believe this woman was at the same point where she got to the point where she didn't care if everybody hated her. She didn't care what everybody thought. She just said, I just got to get to him. And it said that she got in, and it said from the moment that she entered, said that she began to weep. Said that she knelt at his feet and started washing her feet with her tears. And I tell you what, it's probably been a long time for a lot of us that we've knelt down that way. Tell you what, it don't matter if you're saved or lost. It takes the same humbleness getting down and saying, Lord, it's me again. I ain't nothing, and you're everything. I don't deserve everything that you've done for me, but thank you for saving my soul. I tell you what, sometimes it takes him getting me to the point where I truly humble down and recognize who he is and seeing who I really am before I really thank him the right way. He ought not have to bang on my door before I recognize that. Sometimes all he needs to speak is that still small voice. And I think a lot of times we want him to speak in that loud booming voice where it shakes us, but that ain't how he always speaks. And I'll say this, if you've been saved for 50, 60 years, it ought not take that booming voice before you move.
Amen.
Tell you what, it should be, the longer you get saved, the easier it is to hear it. That whisper ought to be the normal. It ought not take him yelling. I'll say this, when I'm talking to my children and they're close, I don't have to yell.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, the farther they get from me, I'll have to raise my voice a little bit more and then a little bit more. And pretty soon I'm saying, hey, I'm over here. Come back home. I tell you what, but when I'm at the feet of Jesus, he don't have to yell at me. He don't have to raise his voice. He can whisper and I can hear him speak to me. But I tell you what, that woman, she got down. And I tell you what, when you kneel down, I tell you what, I've always loved whenever we read about washing the feet, what it means to humble yourself down, to realize you're nothing. And that you love the person across from you when you get down to kneel, that you love them more than yourself. That you're humbling down, you're saying, I'm not worthy. But you're getting down and you're bowing down and washing their feet. And I'll say this, I remember one of the first times I was in a foot washing. And I'd went with Dad after I got saved a couple times, but I didn't partake the first couple times. I was a little nervous. And I remember the first time I finally partook. And I remember Delmer Smith, he's a deacon at our church, and always looked up to him and always loved hearing him pray and hearing him shout and amen. He had a certain voice that when he said amen, you knew it was him. And I loved hearing him. I loved hearing him praise the Lord. And I remember he got down to. At first, it's in the flesh, and I was worried about washing his feet. Well, you know what? He was washing mine first. Didn't really think about that. He got down to kneel down, and I took off my shoes and everything. And as he began to kneel down, I thought, well, I'm not worthy for you to wash mine. See, that's what it is. It's a humbling experience when somebody that you look up to kneels down and says, let me wash your feet. It's a show of love and respect, and it humbles you down. And whenever I washed his, it made me love him that much more. But I tell you what, when you humble yourself down like that woman did, and she began to cry, and her tears started going on his feet, and she began to wash them, and it said that she took her hair to dry it. Do you know what the hair of the woman was? It says it was her glory. Tell you what, it means more or less. She was saying, I am nothing. My glory is nothing, but yours is everything. And it took it, and she dried her hair. Took her hair and dried his feet with her hair. Just to show how much she loved him. Just to show she was willing to give everything. Her glory, all her dignity. Said it was her dignity. It is her glory. It was everything. It is her beauty. It said a lot of the hair was to signify her. And if they had short hair, it'd be a shame on them. And so her long hair was more or less a jewel to her. So more or less what she is saying is, I have nothing. All that my goodness, all that my wealth, all my beauty, it is nothing when compared to you. And she said, it is nothing. She dried his feet. I tell you what, if you didn't come that way, the day that you got saved or when you repent, any time after, I tell you what, a lot of times we just want to say a quick little prayer and be done with it. say, well, I prayed. And a lot of us say, well, I pray every day. Well, there's a difference between saying some words and praying. We can all say, well, I said some words. But now when I get a hold of God, it's a whole different experience. Tell you what, when he speaks back and I have a conversation, I tell you what, I don't know about anybody else. I love when he corrects me. I love when he loves me. I love when he molds me. I love when he tears me down. I tell you what, like at potter's clay, sometimes he'll see an imperfection. He'll say, nope, we got to start back over. And he'll have to start me all the way, tear it all the way back down. Everybody else say, oh, I didn't see no imperfection. Well, you're not the potter. Tell you what, that potter can notice the most minute little imperfection, and he knows the longer it goes, it's going to get weaker. I tell you what, sometimes he has to tear us down to build us up and make us strong. And a lot of times the trials that we go through, we don't know why we're going through them. We think, well, why is this happening? But God already sees the end. All we're seeing is right now, right in front of us. But he's saying, oh, if you'll just bear with me, if you'll just trust me in what I'm doing, it will work out. I tell you what, I've never seen a plan of his fall apart. Tell you what, there's been many of my plans that I thought, man, this is a good idea. This will work out real good. And I've regretted every step of the way. But every time God says, trust me, just do what I tell you, and then you do it, you're like, man, why didn't I do that a long time ago? Why don't I listen every time? Why do I even think for myself, why wouldn't I just trust you? But it says that, over there it says that, and anointed with the oil. And now when the Pharisee which had bidden saw him, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner this woman is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answering him, saying to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. That kind of hit me funny when I was reading that today. Master, say on. Now see, a lot of us, even when we're in the wrong, we'll say on. Sounds all right, don't it? Sounds like we're really backing whoever. Say on. And I've heard a lot of people say amen, and they don't even know what they're amening. It can just become a word. It can just be doing what everybody else is doing. And it don't mean nothing. You can say, oh, I love the Lord. Tell you what, when you love the Lord, you'll do as it says, if ye love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Amen.
If you love me, feed my sheep.
Amen.
If you love me, feed my, he said, feed my sheep two times, and he said, feed my lambs.
Yeah. Right.
Tell you what, when you really love him, you're willing to do something for him. A lot of times we'll give lip service, then the first sign of actual work and actually have to do something, we'll say, well, let somebody else do that. Well, that's all right. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not good at singing. I can't carry a tune. One of the best singers I've ever heard in my life is Brian Williams. Love him to death. When he'd open up his mouth at Lafayette, he'd just stand there and shake. And I said, you're my favorite singer. He said, there ain't no way. I said, yeah, you are. I said, I've never seen anybody give their whole self to God. I said, he didn't care what he sounded like. It wasn't for you. It was for him. And I loved it because I said, I don't know if I've ever sung that way. Because you worry about hitting the wrong note. You worry about this. You worry about that. When he got up, it wasn't about nobody else. He just wanted to do what God asked him to do. And I said, I love that obedience because I don't know if I've ever been that obedient. Because we worry too much about what people think. I don't like falling on my face too many times. But it's happened. It ain't fun. I don't like it. But I tell you what, if it's needful, then it needs to happen. But I tell you what, the best thing that you can ever do is get yourself completely out of the way. And I thought how this man said, well, say on. It was like a pat on the back. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm right with you. I'm agreeing with you. Go ahead. Tell me whatever. I'll do it. I tell you what, a lot of people say that to the Lord, and then he tells them something. There ain't no way they'll do it. You can keep saying say on all your life. You might say amen. Might say, bless them, Lord. Might say all these things. But if you ain't truly following up and putting love in action, it don't mean nothing. Tell you what, you might say you're saved. Tell you what, the Ten Commandments on them, it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. A lot of people think that's just cursing and taking his name. That ain't what it means. Don't take his name and say, I'm saved, when you're not. You're taking it in vain, because that means you're saying it's yours when it ain't yours.
Right.
Tell you what, when you're of him, you'll know you are, because you'll feel it. And I tell you what, if you don't truly know, that's one of the most important decisions of your life. And if you're going on, I hope so, I think so, I might be, that ain't good enough. This ain't I hope so. This ain't I hope so way, or I think I might be. This is I know so way. If you don't know, you better make things right before it's your time to die. I tell you what, I wouldn't be guessing. I wouldn't be hoping. I tell you what, I'd be making sure of what I got. And I'll say this. You know, there's been times where the devil will try to make you doubt. He's good at making us doubt, making us think we're failures. He'll keep you in fear, keep you in doubt, whatever he can. That's where he'll keep you.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, through the last couple years, I've heard more people say they've struggled with their salvation than probably I ever have in my whole life. And it's broke my heart, because see, here the thing is, if he can make you doubt what you got, then you can't enjoy it. If you can't enjoy it, you can't be a light to nobody else to tell them what you got. Because if you're not enjoying yours, why would they want it? So if the devil's constantly making you doubt, then you can't get where you need to be. You can't be the life that you're going to be. And I'll say this. A lot of times in life, you know, you might have certain subscriptions and all these things, and they have benefits. And I tell you what, if you don't know what you got, you're missing out on some great benefits.
Yeah,
tell you what, what's to come is beyond measure. But you don't have to wait to get there to enjoy what you got here. I've heard a lot of people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to shout and sing, why wait?
Yeah.
Why wait? What are you waiting for? I tell you what, now is the time to help people that's lost, that they need to see what you've got so you can be a light to say, this is what I got and that's who gave it to me. But I tell you what, if you're waiting to shout and sing in heaven, all it's going to do is be for him. But I said, right now, it might save somebody's life.
Yeah.
Right now, it might help somebody else get saved. Tell you what, shout and sing now. Don't wait till then. Tell you what, I don't know what people's waiting for, what they're waiting on, and what's keeping them from not moving. I tell you what, for a long time, the devil said, it's too hard. It's too hard. You're not smart enough. It's going to be too hard to really grow. And I remember for the longest time, and I ain't trying to put Terry up on a big pedestal, but that's how it felt. It always felt like, well, God must be have him up a little bit higher. He must have got a pass, must have got some free skips and just got some education that I didn't get along the way. And I ain't trying to lift him up, but I'm just saying there's certain people that you look and think, well, I'll never get there. As long as you believe that, you will stay there. Long as you keep believing what the devil's telling you, oh, you'll never feel that like this one. You'll never testify like this one. Oh, that's for them. That ain't for you. I tell you what, he will keep you there your whole life, and you'll not enjoy your own salvation. And I tell you what, we say that's the greatest gift there is. Why ain't we telling about it then?
Yeah.
We can tell about all these other things, sports and all these things, and get in a big roar. I tell you what, it always amazes me how we can go out to a football game and I see people make idiots out of themselves, jumping up, cheering, shouting, and then they get in the church house and you ain't heard them say one word. The things that don't matter, it looks like they matter. The thing that we say is the most important of all things, and you can't get somebody to even tell their testimony. Tell you what, this is the best thing in this whole world.
Amen.
If you can't tell about it, check what you got.
Because
I'll say this, I want to tell about what God did for me. I know he saved me from a devil's hell, and I don't want nobody to go there. Terry was talking about as soon as he got saved, he said that joy, and I tell you what, it says that you'll have love for your brother. I remember when I got saved.
Yeah.
Soon as I got up, I thought, I want everybody to have this.
Me too.
Tell you what, it is so good. I thought, oh my gosh, I want to tell everybody. I wanted to run and run and run. I couldn't wait to go to school the next day and tell my best friend. I wanted everybody to have this. If you have never felt that, you do not have it. Because as soon as he saved me, that's what he put in. For the love of the brother. Tell you what, you love everybody. And I love what that one man said. Well, who's my brother? Everybody. Everybody. Everybody is your brother. It ain't just the ones that you're related to. Your brother is anybody that you pass on the street. Your brother's whoever you talk to, anybody. Tell you what, we want to try to break it down and say, oh, well, these are the ones I'll associate with. And I might testify or I might talk to these. I tell you what, we're supposed to let our light shine.
Yeah.
Everywhere we go. It ain't just for the ones you work with. I tell you what, I guess my wife gets tickled at me. We'll be out at Walmart sometimes. The Lord will pass by and I'll have to start testifying to somebody. And I made God a promise a long time ago. I don't care where I'm at. I don't care whom I'm around. If you tell me to do something, I want to do it. And I don't want to be ashamed because he's never been ashamed of me. It says if you'll be ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. I tell you what, I don't ever want him to look at me and say, Father, I'm ashamed of this one. Tell you what, I've made some bad decisions before, but I'm glad he allows us to repent and tell him we're sorry.
Yeah.
Tell you what, but when God saves your soul, the first thing that you ought to want to do is tell everybody that you can. If you didn't have that, if you didn't have that experience, and I'll say that's one of the check marks that you can say, I know without a doubt I got something, because that was one of the big stars in my life that I knew I had it because I could not wait. And I'll say it like this, back then they didn't have cell phones, so you couldn't just call. I could not wait to get home and get on the old dial phone and start hearing that road. I couldn't wait to call grandma. I couldn't wait to call my aunt and Uncle Tom. I could not wait to tell everybody.
Yeah.
I tell you what, and if you haven't felt that way in a while and wanted to give your testimony, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Why haven't you wanted to tell it? Is it not as good as it used to be? Why not? If you haven't enjoyed it like you used to, if it is ever better than what it is right now tonight, why not? If you haven't felt him in forever, you haven't cried out to him forever, you haven't called your dearest best friend, why not? And if you say you love him, why aren't you telling about him? If you haven't told your testimony in forever, why not tell it tonight? I tell you what, you ought to have a desire. It says, old Jeremiah said, I got a fire in my bones. I tell you what, there's times where I can't hold it inside and I don't want to. I tell you what, there's something inside that you want everybody to have what you have. And I'll say this, and even if they have it, I want to see it stirred up in them. Tell you what, it ain't just for the lost. I want to see ones that's been saved for years to see that fire in their eyes. I love seeing people get fired up and filled up with the Holy Ghost. And I'll say this, I was telling, I think, Ryan or one of them about going down, Kyle, we was talking, I said, I went down whenever George Sivels was about to pass away. And I see him a couple weeks and I wanted Mary Beth to meet him. He said, he's amazing. I said, I was glad that I couldn't remember him when I was little because whenever we was at St. Mary's, I was only about 3 or 4 years old. I remember what he looked like, but I could not remember how he preached or anything like that. And the Lord allowed it while we was up there. At some point, I was able to work down in Dayton for about 3 months. And I called Dad and I said, do you know any churches around here? And he said, I think George Sivels is around there. And Dad always talked so highly of George. And I thought, man, I'd like to hear him preach. And I remember I went in and I snuck in and I thought, good, he won't know me. I won't have to get up. He won't know nothing. And I'll just sit in the back. And so I snuck in and I started listening. And there's another preacher that was up. And he stood for about 45 minutes. And I tried to get with him. And I tried and tried. Sometimes we just miss it and don't hit it. And sometimes don't know what the problem is. But I tell you what, George got up. And at the time, I think he's about 88 years old. And I thought, well, it's good that he's in his health. In his right mind, he's able to drive his own self. And I thought, all those things are good. I thought, man, that's neat. Then he started testifying. He filled up my cup and run it over in 5 minutes. And I thought, wow, the difference between a truly God-called man that's truly desiring to want to follow the Word. And whenever me and Mary Beth went down later and visited him, I wanted to try to be a help and try to lift him up, try to pick him up. You know what? A lot of times when I try to go help somebody else, I end up being the one that's in need.
That's the truth.
I went in and tried to lift him up, and I said, well, how you doing, George? He said, let's not talk about that. He said, that don't matter. He said, let's talk about the Lord.
Yeah.
Even at 90-some year old, I tell you what, some of us young ones, and I'm saying me and younger, he had more zeal than what some of us young ones have. I hope when I'm 90-some years old that I want to talk about the Lord above everything else, and I want to tell about what he's done. Tell you what, there's a difference between a desire and a zeal. Tell you what, when you have a zeal, you are on fire and you cannot wait to do something for God. I don't know how anybody else is, but I tell you what, when the heavenly master asks us to do something or tell, let me reword that, when he tells us to do something, we get in the habit of just saying ask. He don't ask, he tells. When he tells us to do something, we ought to be the first one saying, I'll go. Here I am. We ought not be the ones trying to hide behind everybody else, saying, well, let them do this one. Tell you what, I don't know about anybody else, but if somebody owned everything in the whole land, they had keys to the whole kingdom, had all kinds of treasures, all kinds of benefits, all kinds of wealth, and they was always apt to known to bless people, be funny, we'd all be saying, here, I'll do something for you. I'll go. I'll do it. But the one who's blessed us more than anybody, and we'll find reasons not to do something for him instead of finding reasons to do something. I love how Jesus corrected this man. And Jesus answering him said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And it said, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. And I thought as he showed him that, you know, and I was telling Bob this morning, I've always asked God, let me love you more. Let me love you more than what I ever have. And sometimes we ask for things that we don't know what we're asking for. Because if you read the scripture, it says, to whom he forgave much, then that will be loved more. So that means that you have to fault and fail to forget forgiven more. So sometimes those who he's forgiven most, and I'll say it like this, you know, there's some, and I remember when James Payne at Hensley's got saved, and he gave such a sweet testimony saying about how he wished he could go back and change his life and got saved a lot sooner and regretted all the years that he stayed out in the world. And I remember I was about 17 whenever he got saved, and I thought, well, I wonder if, and you could see the realness when he got saved. I was 8 years old. I didn't really know a whole lot of sin then. So I didn't see a huge difference as far as my day-to-day walk as I did his. And I thought, well, Lord, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I was supposed to wait till I got older, and maybe I would have really appreciated what you did. And I was talking to James soon after that, and he said, oh, don't ever wish that. He said, your whole life you've sung for him, you've done this. And he said, you don't know what you're asking for. And that's what I'm saying. A lot of times we'll ask and we'll pray things and we mean it. And we desire it, but we don't truly know what we're asking for. Be careful what you ask for and what you pray for. You just might get it.
Amen.
A lot of times we don't know. When you pray for strength, you don't just wake up the next day and have strength. You'll go through trials to make you strong. Tell you what, you pray for patience, get ready for a lot of things. Tell you what, I made the mistake once. Never do it again. Tell you, you know what? Because in life, you will have to learn patience along this way, and there will be many of opportunities for it. Tell you what, but if you'll be glad for whatever God sees fit to send your way. Now, I'll say it like this, and I'll get out of the way. Whether it's a trial, whether it's a mountaintop, God knows just what we need when we need it. And He knows just what you can bear, just what He needs you to go through to make you who He needs you to be. But I tell you what, you can make it a longer process, but not being obedient. Amen. Tell you what, I could have been at this spot probably 20 years ago if I desired it. But I tell you what, a lot of times we don't want to have to go through certain things that the Lord's saying, here it is.
Sure.
Tell you what, everything that you go through, it's for a purpose. You might not understand it now, but somewhere along the way, you might have a testimony that'll be just what somebody needs to hear. Tell you what, He said that we are the church. He says, ye are the light of the world. Tell you what, we're supposed to help one another. Tell you what, and by us going through certain things in our lives and our testimony, it will be a help to somebody else. You might think, oh, that'll never be a help to somebody. And I tell you what, when God gives it to you, if you'll be obedient, and I think that's the key, is we could be more of a help to people than what we realize if we just be obedient and follow when He says to testify, when He tells you. I tell you what, I'll say this for men. A lot of times we don't want to say we love somebody when we're out and around other people that ain't church members. Well, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to get them. I don't want them to make feel weird. I tell you what, if God tells you to tell them you love them, tell them you love them.
Amen.
I tell you what, love will win more people in here than anything else. Tell you what, you show them the love of God, that's what the world is missing. They got everything else. Tell you what, money can buy a lot of things, but I tell you one thing that they can't buy is the love of Christ.
Amen.
Tell you what, it goes above and beyond everything else that anybody's ever imagined. And when you show the love of Christ in you, it'll be a light to them. And I tell you what, it ain't how pretty you sing. And I'll say this, I love hearing the choir sing. I've loved music ever since I was a little kid. Hearing real good harmonies and all that stuff, I love hearing it. But I tell you what, if that's all it is, it won't help nobody. But when the Spirit gets in it, and you hear them start, when you hear them start singing, with that sweet Spirit, man, I could listen to that all day. When we start moving in the Spirit, not in the flesh, that's where you'll help people. And when God tells you to do something, quit trying to figure it out up here and just do it.
Amen.
Why not come tonight if you know you haven't heard from Him in a while? And I'll say it like this, and I promise I'll get out of the way. And this is for ones that's been saved, and you know that you've been saved without a doubt, and you ain't heard Him from Him in a while. Tell you what, a lot of times we want God to tell us to come. One of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible is when Peter was out on the water. And they was in the boat and they thought the boat was going to sink and they was all afraid and they seen Jesus walking out and they thought at first He might be a ghost and all these things. And they said, oh no, we feared. And He said, it is I. And He said, Lord, if it's I, let me come to You.
Yeah.
And He said, come. He didn't wait for Jesus to ask Him. He said, can I come to You? Tell you what, a lot of times we want to wait until Jesus is constantly calling. I tell you what, if you've been saved, you got keys to the kingdom. If you want to get back to where He's at, why don't you say, can I come? Instead of waiting on Him constantly drawing and pulling, tell you what, I promise, that if you're feeling that way tonight, this ain't the first time. Tell you what, when he's knocked many times before. But I tell you what, if you know that you've went away from Him, and you said, man, I sure miss being at that spot in my life, how real you felt then. I want to feel you again. It's in your court. Tell you what, it's in your hands. Why not? Why not come to Him? Why not say, whatever it takes, I want to get back to where I used to be. And I'll say this for you that's in a good spot. Why not say, I want to get even closer? Don't get content with where you're at as far as just getting complacent. It says, be content with whatever state you're in. I ain't talking about that. I'm saying don't get complacent and say, well, I'm in a good spot. Tell you what, idle hands get you in a lot of trouble. Tell you what, if you just sit, just wait, devil will be just right beside you in no time. But I tell you what, consistently try to get closer. And I promise he'll show up. When you call on him, when you call him, he ain't one that says, I'll get with you in a minute. Tell you what, you ain't going to leave no message. You ain't going to get an answering machine. Every time I've called on him, he says, I've been waiting to hear for you from a long time. And here I am. What do you want to tell me? What do you want? And he comes to my aid. I tell you what, why not tonight? That's all I got, Terry.
Thank the Lord for the gospel. That's good preaching. I appreciate hearing Brother Aaron again. Appreciate God moving, powerful. I want us to all stand. I want us to get us a song. And whatever God's wanting you to do tonight, and God bless Brother Aaron to cover a lot of points that's so important and situations and circumstances in our life and preach very clearly and right to the point. If we're not where we need to be with God, God lets us know that. And if God's letting you know you're not where you need to be tonight, he's letting you know what you need to do to get there. See, you can't fix yourself, but you can make an effort to come to the Lord, and that's just what Aaron's been preaching about, and God will fix what's wrong. And so while we sing tonight, I would like to ask you, whoever needs to come, if you need to come pray, whatever you need to do, do that. Obey the Lord. Pray, church. I believe somebody needs to come tonight. Feel like somebody ought to. Obey the Lord. If you're lost, if you're out of fellowship with God, if you need to get closer to the Lord, obey the Lord. Something's wrong in your life. It's not God's fault. If you're far from God, it's not somebody else's fault.
Jesus, the longer
obey the Lord.
I serve him,
obey the Lord.
The sweeter he grows.
Amen. Amen.
And the longer I serve him, the sweeter.
Listen to that song.
The more joy he bestows.
Amen.
Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows.
Follow him tonight,
the
children.
Longer
follow the Lord.
I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
It can be sweet in your life. Follow him.
Of grace he bestows, and every day my way gets brighter the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows, and the longer. Heart overflows.
good song. We're going to ask for another song, and we'll make this invitation. All those other invitations that you've already heard, they're still open. Whatever God's wanting you to do, you can do that. But I want to focus on this right now. Doors of the church are open. If you're here and you know you're saved by the grace of God and God's put it on your heart to join this church and all the way that we receive members, if God's put it on your heart, we want to invite you to come. Let us know it, and we'll do our best to take care of it with the Lord's help. So while we sing this song, if anybody needs to join this church, come, let us know it. I'm going to stand down here. Anybody? Glad for Sister Donna to come. If somebody else needs to come, you come on. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Amen. Amen. We appreciate this good move, and we're going to let Sister Dawn say what's on her heart.
I've been saved for a really long time.
Yep.
Almost 48 years. And I really appreciate the message. It really touched my heart.
Amen.
And I remember when I was young, I struggled so much.
Yep.
Knowing that I need God.
Yeah.
And not knowing how to find Him.
Amen.
And I remember, I wasn't raised as a Baptist, and I was searching my whole life, it seemed like, at that time. And I remember this one preacher had a little card. You pray this little card, you read this little card, and you'll be all right.
Ah.
I knew I wasn't all right.
That's right. Good for you.
I didn't feel any better.
Right.
But I remember going to Lafayette and Albert Smith preaching.
Yeah.
And I knew I needed to do something.
Right.
And I was afraid to move out. And everybody kept coming to me. I felt like the whole church knew. And everybody, come on, I'll pray with you.
Yeah.
I was so backward and so shy. And finally, Albert comes to him and he says, so I don't even know what he said. Mm. I took one step and I don't even know how I got up here.
Right.
But as soon as I took that step and I gave my all, he changed my life.
Right.
The world was so bright and so clear. I knew that there was a change in me.
Right.
And I want to thank him for that. Thank him for the prayers.
Yeah. Amen.
I guess that's all I have to say.
That's good. That's a wonderful testimony. Thank the Lord. And you'd like to join this church?
Yes.
Okay. And Sister Donna, we were talking. She last belonged down at St. Mary's, and of course we're not connected with them anymore, but we got three ways we take church members. When people get saved, they can join by baptism, or if they're a member of another church, if they can get a letter, they join by letter. Or if we have the information that she just shared with us, if they've been saved, they've been baptized into a good Baptist church, if we can't get a letter from that, we can take them by statement. And so that's what we'll present that in business meeting to I received this sister by statement, and I'm glad to have her. Glad she's come. We want to get another song. It's okay for come shake hands with you?
Sure.
All right. We want to get another song, come around and shake hands with her. If somebody else here needs to move, whatever your need is, please do that while we sing this song, while we shake hands, and we just thank the Lord for you. Great testimony. Thank you, buddy. Amen. 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 Appreciate this good service, good preaching, good singing, this good move, good spirit here. Thank the Lord. I believe others could have come. I can't see anybody's heart, but I just kind of got a burden in my own heart like that. And I appreciate God calling people. Now, anything else on anybody's heart? Anything to do or say before we come to closing our worship? We got the business meeting here in a little while, but we're not in a hurry. Anything the Lord wants done needs to be done. Bless him, Lord.
I'm thankful to be here tonight. My little sister's 1 year old. She finds comfort in me and my mom and dad. But there's coming a day when she won't be able to find comfort in us. She'll have to go to higher up to find that comfort. Amen. Don't wait tonight to find that comfort. You can get it right here.
Amen.
Pray for me, church. I remember one night in an old-fashioned meeting. Yeah. I was praying to God to redeem my poor soul. Then I heard the sweet voice of my loving Savior. I Amen. Started that night to make heaven my home.
Amen.
I heard a sweet voice so tenderly calling, saying, arise, be saved evermore. I knew it must be the voice of my Savior, for I have not heard a voice like it before.
Amen.
I'm so glad that I heard the voice of my Savior, for I know I'm redeemed by His wonderful grace. Yeah. Someday when He calls, yeah. I'm going up to heaven. And there in that city, I'll look on His face. I heard a sweet voice so tenderly calling, saying, arise, be saved evermore. I knew it must be of my Savior.
Amen.
For I have not heard a voice like it before.
Amen. That's good, Jake. Amen. Thank the Lord for that good song. I love that song. I appreciate Jake singing. Anybody else feel like singing? Bless her, Lord.
Aaron preached about sharing your testimony, and God showed me that I've been a member of this church for almost 7 years, and I've never shared my testimony with my church. I wasn't saved here. I was saved as a six-year-old little girl at Lafayette. It was a Sunday morning, and we had just got back from altar of prayer, and Mom came and sat next to me, and she said, just let us know when God speaks to your heart. And I was like, okay, I wasn't really paying attention, and God never spoke to me before. But then Teresa Neal got up and sang Face to Face,
yeah.
And God split my world wide open.
Yeah.
And He showed me that it's a very clear choice. There's heaven or there's hell. And I knew in that instant that it was God. I just knew. And I knew that I needed to go. And I didn't even remember walking to the altar. I just remember getting up and saying, I'm saved. And the whole church went to shouting.
Yeah.
And I remember standing at the altar. You can see through the front doors. And there were these beautiful pink rose bushes. And I'll never forget them. And I walked outside that day. And the whole sky was blue.
Yeah.
And I'd seen it before, but it was blue. And I'll never forget that day. And ever since, the beauty of God's creation and what he did in my heart. I'm just so thankful to be saved, and I'm sorry I didn't tell you guys sooner.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank God for that testimony. Well, that's right out of heaven. I appreciate it, sister. I appreciate you following the Lord and sharing that with us. That's blessed my heart. Somebody else. Follow the Lord. Anybody? If not, we'll have another song and use that for our dismissal. Everybody's welcome to stay for business meeting. Not trying to get rid of anybody, but if you need to leave or want to leave for some reason, while we sing this song, while you can... Yeah. I about forgot it, but had a few people mention to me, said, boy, said Bible school's coming up, said, wonder if we're going to have an adult class. And I said, well, I don't know. We could have. And so a number of people mentioned to me, so pray about that and think about that. And somebody said, well, we need to get somebody to teach it. Well, we got a number of folks could do that. God puts it on your heart, and we'd like to have whoever God put that on your heart to do that. I'd be glad if we could have an adult class. That'd be great. So pray about that, and maybe we'll talk about that some more. Anything else? Okay, if you want to stand, we'll sing another song. Those can be dismissed if wants to. I've only hugged you about four or five times. I want to hug you again. I want to hug your wife, too. Thank you.